to Psalm 93. Because as we look at our world and as we look at our nation, with all that's going on in our nation, with all the double standards of our nation, with all the things that are going through our elected parliament in our nation that deny this very word. And we say, what is this hope? What is this surety in, surely in an age of uncertainty? I might be uncertain about my job. I might be uncertain about many things. I'm uncertain about when the governor of the Bank of England speaks. I'm uncertain about whether I can believe that political leader or that one. And that one says he doesn't believe in God anymore. What? And yet they're leading our nation. Or they're in opposition to the leaders of our nation. When am I going to find some solid ground? Real solid ground that doesn't matter and is not influenced by how I feel in any way, shape or form. Whether I feel good, mediocre or rotten, it doesn't make any difference that solid ground is solid. Because it's outside ourselves. It's an objective truth. Here's what Psalm 93 says. Got your Bibles, please follow me with me. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. O Lord, Psalm 93, five short verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As I looked at that psalm and thought about it and thought about all these circumstances around, I asked myself, Jack, where is your inner stability? Where is your anchor? Where is your rock? That no matter what happens, no matter what is threatened, it's sure and it's steadfast. And this psalm in five verses says it. Whether you believe it or not is another issue. Whether you believe it or not, the psalm still says it. Whether I believe it or not, it is still God's word written. But believing it or not makes all the difference. Not only here temporarily at this scene, but eternally. Makes all the difference. And look how it begins. You know, there was a song long ago, and it began something like, three little words, that's all I... Do you remember it? I love you. Three little words. Three big words here. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The psalmist didn't just say it once. In fact, as we look, we find it in Psalm 9 and 96, 97, 99, 146, and here 93. The Lord reigns. It's like the good Lord saying to me, Jack, unless you've forgotten, unless you've been preoccupied with the things around you, I reign. I reign. their Lord. It's a statement. It's a statement of an objective truth, dear friends. Unchanging. In our changing world, it remains unchanging. And it's in those capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know, as evangelicals, we use the term the Lord freely, rightly. You know, I felt the Lord said to me. I felt the Lord. The Lord said and the Lord taught. And very often, we're talking about the second person in the Holy Trinity. We're talking about our blessed Savior himself, the Lord Jesus. That's very often what we're doing when we say the Lord says. But here it is a capital L, a capital O, and a capital R, and a capital D. And it's very, very significant for you and me. Very significant. Who is he? Who is this one who says, the Lord, in capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? Who is he? Well, we're not studying Hebrew, and we're not studying Greek, thank goodness. But it does help us to say, what does it mean in this English language of mine? And that name, Lord in capitals, is the complete name of the deity. It's his completeness. Every bit of him is complete in that name. You know, when he revealed himself to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and the scripture tells us he did not reveal himself as the Lord. Jehovah, he did not. He revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. And as he slowly revealed more of himself, he reveals himself as the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh. The self-existent one. I know I'm not self-existent. In fact, as you stand up and your knees go, oof, my left knee. What a reminder, I'm not self-existent, if I even thought it. And this primary meaning of the self-existent one, he that is. It's a strange human, it's not a human concept, is it? But it's strange to the human intellect. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you know, everything I'm saying, I pray that's from this book. not my own theory, but this book, which I believe deep down in me is God's inspired word, and I'm sure you do too. But let's go back to Exodus. You've been thinking, I'm sure, already, of Exodus 3, when that great prophet, Moses, at that tender age of 80 years of age, he was only 80. And he's in the back of beyond, isn't he? And he's tending his father-in-law's sheep. And 40 years before, he legged it from Egypt, didn't he? A prince in Egypt. And he murdered someone, an Egyptian, and he ran for his life. Finished up in Midian, and that, back of beyond. And he's out there 40 years as a shepherd. And he's with the sheep and he's in Sinai, Horeb. And he sees that burning bush. Remember? That bush that was not consumed. That supernatural burning. And the voice saying, in his curiosity, he looks, take your shoes off, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. And he approaches that inquisitive nature that we have as human beings to look at this. And he's spoken to by the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And there in Exodus 3, verse 14, in verse 13, Moses says to God, who tells him to go back to Egypt, and suppose I say to the Israelites, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What is his name? then you shall tell them this, I am a sent you. I am that I am. The self-existent one who reveals himself. I am. And he was known from then as the Lord. And he says, that's my name. That's not who I am. That's my name. Each one of us has got a name. Well, we've got more than one, haven't we? Some have got a string of names. Identify you and me individually of who we are. Who we are. And he says in his word, there's the Lord, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. I am the Lord. The Lord reigns. Someone else used the term I am. You remember? Someone else said, I am. Right in the New Testament and in John's Gospel, we see that I am. And in that New Testament Greek, I am is that one. Remember those things he said? I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. John records them in his gospel. I am. There's that, what I call a beautiful discourse takes place between our blessed Savior Jesus Christ and the Jews and the leaders of Israel. And we find it there in John 8. And there's this discourse going on where they're telling them, oh, you come from the devil. You know, we reject you. We reject you. And there's this discourse takes place. And they said, now we know you're demon-possessed. Abram died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he'll never taste death. You must be mad. And our Lord Jesus, in that discourse, uses this. Let me just read some of the uses. That your father Abraham, 1,000 years before, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And they said, you're not yet 50 years old. And you say you've seen Abraham. Listen, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. You know what they did? Of course you do. They picked up stones to execute him, to stone him to death for blasphemy. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. I am. You remember what he was in Gethsemane? At the point of arrest, John records this. No other gospel writer records it. John records that the crowd came to arrest him with the soldiers, etc. And Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And they fell down to the ground. I am. I am. What did our Lord say to one of his disciples? Was it Thomas? Thomas, if you've seen me, no, Nathaniel, and you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am. This wonderful short psalm says to you and me on this day, the Lord reigns. An objective truth. But you see, what it does in those verses, it tells us how he does it. I like that. He tells me he does it. Great. Thank you, Lord, for telling me that. Putting me straight. No, I want to tell you how I do it. How I do it. And then you know where you stand. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty. He reigns gloriously. Oh, gloriously. That's how he reigns. Last week we saw majesty. We saw our Queen herself, but we saw all the trappings of majesty at a human level. Wonderful uniforms, gold, silver. It was all there. It was all there yesterday at the Tribune of the Colour and Horse Guards Parade, if you watched it. Majesty was there. But the Lord reigns in majesty. I tried to say to myself, Jack, how do you compare the majesty of the royal family here? And surely, whether you're a monarchist or a republican or nothing, surely when you look at the monarchy of this land, there's not another to touch it anywhere. My wife said to me last weekend, the Americans watching this are green with envy. I said, I suppose you're right. It's grand, isn't it? It's a grand human spectacle. But when I looked at the majesty of our royalty here in this land, and I look at you where it says, the Lord is robed in majesty. How do I make that comparison? And I make that comparison to me, and it helps me. The little glowworm, nice and bright. And it's like the little glowworm, as it were, on Midsummer's Day at 12 o'clock high, standing before the midday sun. You can't see it, can you? Because of the power of the midday sun on Midsummer's Day. And that majesty that we saw last week and we saw yesterday on TV dwarfs to nothingness when you compare it with the majesty of... You read in Isaiah 6, you get that wonderful picture of Isaiah having that vision of the Lord and his train filling the temple, the majesty of him filling the temple. And he was smitten. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Don't crush me. Don't crush me. Of course, the Lord commissioned him, didn't he? No, I'm with you, not against you, I'm with you. And for you, you're mine. This majesty eclipses our concept of human majesty. But you see, also, only in verse 1, it says this, and he is armed with strength. He's powerful. We sometimes hear it said, don't we? We're doing this because it empowers us. Oh, you think, what's that? What does that mean, it empowers us? This Lord is powerful. Armed with strength. My imagination sometimes does the most ridiculous of things for other people. It's all right for me, but when I share it, they think, Jack, you're going a bit senile or something. But I see this, the Lord, as it were, robed in majesty and armed with strength. And I've got visions of St. George and Henry V and Robert the Bruce all rolled into one. Where is this warrior king? Here he is. The Lord himself. What am I worrying about? He's my God. I know he's my God because his word tells me that when I repent of my sins and come to him and trust in Jesus Christ, his eternal Son, my sins are forgiven and I've got eternal life. He's my God and my Father, my Lord and my Saviour. What am I worrying about? This warrior king, he loves me, he loves you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh Lord, I do insist on worrying. Yeah, of course I do. Well, I'm educated to worry. I'm trained to worry. I'm going to worry. Well, get on with it. You'll be back. You'll be back in your own good time, huh? We do, don't we? Lord, forgive me. I know I didn't know best when I started it, but by Jove, I'm so stiff-necked and stubborn. I will keep doing it. and you will keep forgiving me and cleansing me through the blood of Jesus. Of course you will, because it says so in the book. Creator, sustainer, redeemer God, the Lord reigns. He reigns. Where's your anchor? Where's your rock? Where's your foundation? Verse 2. Your throne was established long ago. You are from eternity. The Lord reigns eternally. Yeah. Not a creature of time like you and me. Well, there's part of you and me that's eternal as well. Whether we believe the Lord reigns or not, there's part of you and me that's eternal. Because the book says we're made in his image. From everlasting to everlasting. I can't get that intellectually. Because when I read the Oldham Chron at night and I read the obituaries, it tells me that so-and-so's up there playing golf with you. Or playing with his Uncle Fred who died 50 years ago. I can't. How do I get hold of that? It tells me he stood at the bar with his mates from the past, since he's gone up there. That's not what this book teaches, is it? And you know, it says, Genesis 1, verse 1, at the beginning, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That's how it starts. And you know, in John's Gospel again, it starts, doesn't it? John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, as they say. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the I Am. I am the resurrection and the life. Was it Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. Ah. You're going to see something, Martha. You're going to see something, Mary. You're going to see, and from all eternity. You know, when the Lord Jesus went to that tomb and he said, take that stone away, and you know the response, he'd been dead 4 days. Smells to high heaven. Those watching who come up from Jerusalem knew full well that anybody who could raise the dead, who'd been dead for 4 days or more, must be Messiah. It does tell us, of course, that some did believe when they saw him. Lazarus, come out. Nothing could have kept Lazarus in. When the eternal I Am, our Lord Jesus, said, come out, Lazarus, he couldn't have stopped in. Could not. You reign from all eternity. What am I worrying about, Lord? You reign gloriously. You reign powerfully. You reign from all eternity. What am I worrying about? Fretting. When I say worry, I mean fret. I don't mean concern. I don't mean planning. That's what the brain's for, isn't it? To do these things, God willing, it will be so and so. I mean fret. Don't fret. Because you see, I'm going to put verses 3 and 4 together. But here we have a picture. Can you hear the waters? Just listen again. The seas have lifted up their voice, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Can you hear the tsunami? Pounding. Pounding. You know, when God's word talks about storms and floods and what we would call tsunamis, it's a sign of the judgment of God in the book. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that a tsunami here is always that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when we read God's word and we read about storms and tempests, it's God's judgment. It's happened, didn't it, with Noah? Apart from 8, God wiped it. God wiped it. We look at Pharaoh's army seeking to cross the Red Sea, chasing Moses and the Israelites. You know what happened? They all perished. Stormy waters. Jonah on the boat, legging it from the Lord. Get away from him. from him who's eternal, from him who's glorious, from, you know, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Of course, he jumps overboard, doesn't he? And the storm finishes. And our Lord Jesus Christ, there in the boat with the disciples on Galilee, stormy Galilee, and they're bailing out, the water's coming in quicker than what they're putting it over the side, and they say to him, "Don't you care that we drown?" You remember what he did? Of course you do. He rebuked the storm. Who is this? Who is this? He speaks and he rebukes the storm. Have you got a storm going on? Let him speak into your heart, into your mind, into your being. Let him rebuke the storm. Let him do it. Christian, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Christian, don't quench the Holy Spirit of God living in you. He's the one that rebukes the storm of Satan's attacks. That's him. And it says, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The storm can cease inside, dear friend. You surrender. But fight and wrestle. And it may well continue. You remember, dear old Torrey Ken Boom said, "Don't wrestle, nestle." Are you nestling? Are you nestling in the Lord this morning? It's a human decision. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me. And definitely, verse 5. Definitely, verse 5. And this is what it says. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. When this book talks about statutes, that Old Testament use of the word statutes, the law, the ordinances, the precept, the word. The word stands firm. God breathed. What does it tell us in God's word in Hebrews? The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword and divides muscles and sinew and all of the bones and also soul and spirit. Not a surgeon in the land, no matter how eminent and skillful, can divide soul and spirit, but this can. Because it's the word of the Lord. By the Lord's Spirit. And we can reject it, fight against it, it prevails. Holiness adorns your house. Christian, we are called to a life of holiness. Oh, it doesn't say that's easy. Oh, no, 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 no. But we're called to a life of sanctification, of holiness, of keeping short accounts with the Lord, of getting before him when something is wrong and getting it right and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, out of the way. And you know, when we think of that word, your house, we move into the New Testament, the tabernacle, the house, is where the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells himself in you and me, the believer, in you and me, the body of Christ. That's where he dwells. That's where he is. For endless days, oh yes. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is this Lord? Who is he? Reigns gloriously. Powerfully, yes. Eternally, yes. Triumphantly, yes. In truth and in holiness, yes. Is he yours? If you say, yes, he is your relationship with him right? He's only a prayer away. Just a prayer away. May God grant to us that determination within us to trust him, to walk with him, to be content in him, and to know that my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The Lord reigns. May God bless you. Amen.